The following program may contain adult language and mature subject matter and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Email Joanne right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary. Good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Monday night, November 24th.
Welcome. Wherever you are in the world.
That's right.
Evening,
that's
afternoon,
right. Yeah,
morning.
That's right. I forget about that. Sorry about that. Welcome to my second show, show called Down the Garden Path, where I just want to talk to you about things to do in your garden, help you create the most low-maintenance garden you can. I'm all about low maintenance and making it as easy as possible. I know everyone's busy. I thought I'd start off the second show just to talk to you again a little bit about me and my background in landscape design. I started really with a passion for gardening and love of gardening in my own home and at a few friends' houses and things like that. And so then that led me to working in a garden center. And I still love that. I loved helping people buy plants and choose plants and for their own gardens. And I really wanted to expand on that. And I went back to school in Toronto here. It's Ryerson University. And I did my landscape design certificate. So it took me a few years doing it part-time. But I finished that up in 2008. And I've been designing gardens ever since. So I've got lots of lovely gardens that I've visited and helped people with, from big to small. It sounds corny, but I love it all.
Hey, you know, what a model. I love that.
Did you like
right?
that?
What was that again? Say it again.
From big to small, I love them all.
From big to small, I love it all.
That's
Joanne
right.
Shaw, Down the Garden Path. Right.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? You go around a lot of places and you see a lot of these beautiful gardens and you have to wonder, you say, wow, these people either, they put a lot of time in themselves and do the right thing and do the research. Or what they do is they hire someone like yourself who is available to do a beautiful garden, right?
So I mean, for me, low maintenance comes down to a simple fact of it's the right plant in the right spot. And it should take care of itself with a little bit of tweaking here and there. But really, depending on the type of plant.
Then
there's a whole garden of plants. So every one of those plants needs to be in the right spot.
That's right.
For right now, as well as, you know, in the future, because we all know that plants grow. So, so it is November and, wherever you are in the world, I think for the most part, your gardening might be winding down as you prepare for the winter season. And here in the GTA, we've had a, last week when I started my show, it was funny that it was a snowy day, our first big snow storm of 2014.
That's right, it was.
Yeah,
huh?
And now the snow has melted and we're hit with a big windstorm. So there's 100-mile winds out there knocking down power lines all over the city. So
which all of a sudden, if we talk and they hear this, well, they're not. We know
that's
we
right.
lost our power because we are not generator powered here.
Oh, okay.
We don't have a backup.
All right.
I'm too cheap.
Okay.
So
if you, there's your heads up there,
yeah.
everyone. So if you, we cut out and you lose the show, you know it
you know
wasn't
why.
Us. It wasn't a technical difficulty. It was the wind. We'll blame
that's
the
right.
weather. So.
And where could folks right now, tuning in, listening to you, if they wanted to get a hold, first of all, let me say this. If you want to get a hold of Joanne right now, while she's on the air, we are live around the world. Our local telephone number in the Toronto GTA, right, is 905-725-1907. Toll free. Now, anywhere in the North America, we will pay for the call for you. 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, a special number just for you folks. Contact your local operator and give them this number. 1-866-656-5477. And a lot of people, they don't want to call, but they want to talk to you. So here's how you do it. Send us an email, realityradio101@yahoo.com. Now, that's how they can get a hold of you here.
Right.
How do they get a hold of you once you leave the studio?
Okay. The best way is email as well. So Joanne, J-O-A-N-N-E, at downtoearth.ca. Down with the number two, earth.ca. That's the name of my design company is Down to Earth Landscape Design. My website is www.downtoearth.ca. And on that, if you go to my website, you'll see I'm also all over social media. So my Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter, follow my Facebook page, so Pinterest as well. So everything, all the links are there on my website. So it's a good first stop.
You
if
are
you
just
have any
there
questions.
For the social media, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm loving the social media, unfortunately.
Yeah. That's
sometimes
all right.
I have to remember to get to the designs and get off the computer and from that standpoint. But I do love helping people and love thinking about things. I know I posted something today on Facebook that I'm going to talk to you in a few minutes about. That this time of year in the GTA, the controversial topic of burlap. So I tend to have a different opinion than many.
And
but,
should we say who one of those people are or not?
No, not necessarily.
Okay,
there's been a few people, and
yeah.
I know I'm kind of bucking the trend there. But I don't know. I was able to get out, since it was a warmer day today here in the GTA, get out and do some last-minute raking. So it's going to cool down the rest of this week, but it's still going to be warmer than it was last week. So if you have some leaves that you'd still like to get off that lawn, please do. Your lawn will be much better for it in the spring if we can get those leaves off. And if you've not yet had a chance to apply a fall fertilizer, it is not too late. So I just want you to know that. There's still time.
For fall fertilizer, if I can ask you, of course, you walk into a box store or a garden center,
yeah,
and you see a lot of different options. What is a good option for fall fertilizer? What should be in that actual fertilizer, in that bag? What's important now?
I think the most important thing, I think anything, as long as it says fall, that's the key thing.
Yeah.
So fall fertilizer, it should be a slow release fertilizer.
Okay.
And the big thing is to, when you pour it into your spreader, you do that on the driveway and not on the lawn.
Right, of course.
So if you overthrow it. So they label them pretty well this time of year. So as long as it says fall fertilizer, then it'll be a slow release and it'll slowly feed your lawn all winter. The big thing right now is with that snow. I know I was in a store today, and because of the snow we had last week and the ice, predicted ice, now you can't hardly find that stuff because they've got all the ice melter things out,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
so I had to kind of go digging to find
right.
what I was looking for. But it's there. It's there. The box stores will have it.
Good deal.
And I just wanted to talk to you more about my controversial ideas about burlap. So I just feel, I know if you wanted evergreens in your yard, you want them because they're evergreen. You want the winter interest that they provide. And I don't think that winter interest is beautiful with us to think everything wrapped in burlap.
Well,
so.
let me ask you this then. Okay, so people, they wanna protect their cedars, right?
Yes.
Okay, and that's what we mean by evergreen.
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you say you don't really have to apply burlap to these particular plants and trees, or trees rather, okay, why do people do that in the first place?
Two reasons. One is, everyone's familiar with cedars and how if snow and ice get on them later in the season, they really start to open up and cause the leaves and the branches to come apart. Mm-hmm. And once the thaw is over, spring comes, unfortunately, those branches don't go back together again. So people do the wrapping of burlap just to try and keep their evergreens tight. I believe that's one of the reasons.
Okay.
And so my solution for that is instead to choose a fishing line.
Okay.
Something you don't see. It's not visible. You still get to enjoy the green. But you can certainly wrap the fishing line on the inside of the cedar. And this also works if you have had past cedar damage, snow damage from your cedars. This, you can leave it on and it helps it just hold the cedar together and keep its nice form and prevents snow and ice from separating the branches.
So that's basically why people wrap that is for
that's one
form?
Of the reasons. Yeah, yeah, one of the reasons. Another reason, if you have planted them, unfortunately, in a very windy spot, mm-hmm. so then you're or a very sunny spot, because even in the winter, mm-hmm. the winter sun can be very damaging to evergreens because it's just going to, any moisture, the sun is going to come along and take that moisture out of those green needles and then causing it to go brown.
Okay.
So one, if you had a professional help you design that, then it again goes back to my point of the right plant.
Do you know any professionals? Oh.
Yes. Okay. The right plant in the right spot. So if it was too windy for cedars and your cedars keep dying, then your cedars are going to keep dying. They were not the right plant for that spot.
Hmm.
The other option is to do a burlap screen. So it's still, you know, you still see burlap, but again, at least the burlap's not wrapped around the evergreens. And you can, I would stick some stakes, some wooden stakes in about 2 feet from the cedar plants or 3 feet, and then staple the burlap to the posts, to the wooden stakes. And so you're creating a screen. So that's going to help with the sun damage as well as the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's good for the first couple of years if you've just planted the hedge, especially if you planted not even emerald cedars. Sometimes people plant the hedging cedars,
mm-hmm.
which take a few years to really get going. So that's a way that you could do it for a couple of years until they get established. Watering them well is still always important because you can go to drive through the country and you can mm-hmm. see cedar hedges that have been around. They look great and green and lush and no one's ever wrapped them in burlap.
Yeah.
So they've had the moisture and yeah, they've really done well. So I think that's the most important thing.
That's great advice. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. So the fishing line will work instead of burlap. So folks, that's an option to consider.
That's an option to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And another use for burlap is for Japanese maple. So if you've got a Japanese maple that you've planted, especially this past year, then I really do recommend that you screen it with burlap for at least the first couple of winters. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not to prevent the snow from falling on top of it. It wants the moisture, but you want to prevent it from the winter wind. So what I do, and I do this for a few of my customers, I'm going back to them the next couple of weeks. All the people I planted a Japanese maple in their gardens this season, I go back and I do the staking for them. So you would create a circle around the Japanese maple with wooden stakes, again, about 1 foot, 2 feet, depends on the size of your Japanese maple, and then you would staple or tack the burlap to those wooden stakes. So it's not necessarily touching the tree, it's just providing winter protection from the wind. And I don't tend to do it as much if the tree is in the backyard. But again, it depends on, they tend to be a bit more protected. You usually have a fence,
mm-hmm.
but I know I didn't recommend that for one of my clients last year. They had a little, Anabi Shadira tree and, they did lose it. So we did have to replace it in the spring. Now last winter I know was exceptionally harsh, but You know, who's to say whether that would have helped or not, but I'm sure it would have at least given it a fighting chance. So I do recommend that. So again, I don't think you have to do it for the whole life of your Japanese maple, and especially, I know that's, I warn people, especially if I'm putting a Japanese maple right by their front door, I say to them, you know, as long, it's a beautiful tree and you're going to love it, but for the first couple of winters, you got to deal with the burlap. And then when you don't have to do that anymore, they have a beautiful form in the winter. So yes, they lose their leaves, but they can still be a nice, create some nice winter interest for you.
Very nice. Yeah. Now, could I, what about, I have a question here.
Sure.
Is it okay to still mulch, and even can we mulch after the ground is frozen? Is that possible?
Yeah, it's still a great idea. It really will help insulate your plants, help keep the moisture in, and helps it also in the spring as things start to melt and dry up. It really kind of helps temper that as well, so everything dries out nice and evenly.
Very nice.
Yeah, wow. And helps also if you, because I know there's some keeners who like to get in the garden right away, and I always kind of say, you know, when you're packing all that mud down in the garden, it's not good for the plant. So the mulch kind of gives you a little bit of forgiveness on that too. So it is still, if you don't have time, in the next couple of weeks weather-wise, and we get a freeze, and then we get a nice day, and you still want to apply some mulch, please go right ahead. It's still going to benefit the garden.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, I know you wanted to talk about outdoor winter decorating, but
yeah.
How about if we take a commercial break first?
That sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You are listening to Down the Garden Path. I'm Joanne Shaw, and we'll be right back. You are listening to Reality Radio 101.
And I give up forever to touch you, cause I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest.
When you visit Peacock Lumber, you will step back in time to a place where purchasing wood products was simple, efficient, and pleasant. In our office, you can view our large selection of moldings and receive advice from knowledgeable sales staff. Once you have decided on your order, you can pick up your materials in our drive-through yard or utilize our delivery service. For pickups, take your vehicle out to our traditional lumber yard, where someone is always there to assist you. If you are accustomed to purchasing wood products at a box store, you will be impressed by the variety, selection, and quality of products that we offer, and the ease in which you get your vehicle loaded and get you on your way. Peacock Lumber is conveniently located on 8 acres in central Oshawa. It was started in 1939 by Victor Peacock and remains family-owned and operated. If you need quality wood products for your renovation, please call us at 905-725-4744. That's 905-725-4744. Or for a full list of products and prices, go to www.peacocklumber.ca. Come to Peacock Lumber first to get the price, selection, quality, and service that you expect. Chris Lee West Indian Market has been serving the West Indian community for over 15 years. Visit their new location at 20 Harwood Avenue South, Unit 7 at Harwood and Kingston Road in Ajax. They have a wide variety of Oriental, East, and West Indian groceries, fresh fish, meat, and vegetables. Load up your cart with goodies from the island at very reasonable prices. They have weekly specials such as non-alcoholic wine at 2 bottles for $5. Visit Chris Lee West Indian Groceries at 20 Harwood Avenue South, Unit 7 at Harwood Avenue and Kingston Road in Ajax, or call them right now, 905-426-2111. That's 905-426-2111.
The following program may contain adult language, but probably will not, and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Jeff, Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free, 1-866-905-7325. Email Joanne right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com. And now, back to everyone's favorite horticulturalist, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you. We are back here on Reality Radio 101. Thank you for listening. So I hope you found that little segment of tips good and beneficial. And again, I don't know where you are, everyone is in the world, but here in the GTA in Ontario, we tend to start decorating outside for winter, kind of for Christmas, Yay. The holidays. Yeah. And so you see all the different urns and all the, you know, cedar roping and Christmas trees are all in the stores now and they all smell very good. So I know I, with the warmer weather today, I was able to do a couple of the urns. I like doing them for people. And I took advantage of the warm day today in my garage and whipped a couple together. So I thought I'd talk to you a little bit about that and some of my tips and secrets.
Should we make people pay for your secrets? I mean, if they're your secrets.
Yes, I guess they are my secrets.
Well, you
yes.
don't want anyone listening and having just as beautiful garden as yours. So these are secrets, folks.
Yeah.
So I want you to turn your volume up. Get your ear close to your speakers. And these are the secrets of Joanne Shaw.
Yeah. Okay. So... So I know many of you, every store you go into right now, this time of year, you'll see ready-made urns or urn inserts where you can buy the container that's already been made up and you just take it home and pop it into your container and you're good to go. So certainly that's valid. It definitely is a time saver. But a few things to keep in mind. You get what you pay for, obviously. Take a close look at what are the greens inside the pot, and keep in mind also how long do you want it to last? Is it something that you want to look good, reasonably good, considering the weather, until March? Then you are going to pay a little bit more, and you need to think about that, because it is going to last. You definitely get what you pay for. So if you just want something simple and you just want it and, you know, December Boxing Day or January 1st, you're going to toss it, then go ahead and pick up one like that. Another option, I've done this myself, I have to admit, is I've bought a ready-made one that was done well and I still paid a good amount for it. But then I add to it because I also do find... like any other flower arranging, you find people kind of keep it small. And then when it's outside in front of your house, it's barely noticeable. So I tend to think, you know, you need to go big or go home. If you're going to put Right. something out there, then you want it to be visible and you want it to look good. So I've done that where I've gotten, you know, a very simple one with just all the greens in the pot. And then I've added usually, you know, more greens to them. And then added, you know, either decorative sticks or other pine cones, just to kind of build it up and make it more noticeable and tie in with, you know, if you have a wreath on your front door or the decorations or that you first see when you walk in your front door. I try to keep a continuity between what's outside and what's inside the house.
I think that's what Elaine did.
Yes.
I don't know.
No, you don't know.
I live here and I don't even
notice. You don't notice.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah. Well, it could really just be, it goes with the background. I don't know that my husband will remember either what I did.
Wow.
So, and I actually did. I was able to do two today in my garage and I put mine out in my urn out front. And I did take a few pictures. I'll post those later on Facebook. And but the wind was so bad.
Yeah.
And of course, nothing's frozen yet. Right. So it was still, you know, and so I kind of looked at myself and I thought, I've just spent that time.
Right.
And now I'm going to leave and come to the show. And then I'm going to come home to all of that stuff all over my lawn.
Yep.
So I took it back out after I took some pictures and put it back in the garage. And once the wind, we're done with the wind, I will put it back out there. So normally that wouldn't be an issue. Today was an exceptionally mild day. Normally it's the opposite. People are trying to, usually I leave it too late and it gets cold. And you're literally pouring water on your frozen urns to get your greens in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've also, last year, I had my son videotape me creating several different types of urns. So, you know, it's taken a whole year and it's still not edited. So I'm working on that.
Oh, good for you. And you could put that up on your site then eventually, right?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to do that. I'm hoping to get it up on social media in the next couple of weeks.
Or sell it on TV.
Yeah.
$9.99. But wait.
Yes.
If you order now, right?
That's right. That's right. So
that would
be great. Because I think there's some people, I used to do it with my girlfriends who are listening. They'll remember we used to all get together and kind of have an urn making party.
Cool.
We've done it in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. We've done it in my garage. We've done it in a backyard at another girlfriend's house.
Very nice.
So it's been fun to do over the years, but it is challenging with everyone's busy schedule getting that all coordinated. So now after all those years, I've taught them all how to do it. So I'm hoping they are on their own now making their own urns, but I know they've done a good job. So if you are interested in doing one yourself, I had some other tips for you. Now, did Elaine buy hers or did she make hers?
She usually makes them. You'd have to talk to her, but she usually makes all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm behind. I'm. She's asked me to take all these hanging baskets back in the house. She's been asking me that because they're hanging, but they're locked, so they don't go anywhere. The wind can't take them off the hooks, right?
Right.
So, and I haven't done that yet, but... she does all that stuff just like you do.
Yeah. So she's probably doing one of my little secrets is you do keep your summer annual pots. Mm-hmm. And
right.
Right. And
right.
Then what you do is you cut off all the the plant that's the dead plant now that's above the soil. So I cut all of that off and all those old roots that are still in the pot now are a perfect medium for when you stick your greens, your evergreen branches and things into that soil, it holds them better.
You know what? I hope she's listening to this.
Because I know the ones I did today, I didn't do that this year with my annuals. So I had to use new soil. And it was actually, and that was part of my reason for worrying that the wind was going to take it away because it was almost too easy to put it in.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine once it freezes up. Right now, again, so that is one of my secrets is I do even hanging. Those are great for hanging baskets. If you want to have something by the door instead of an urn arrangement, just cut out all those plants that are now dead, mm-hmm. but leave the roots in there.
Oh, cool.
You can also snip off if you want to reuse that container but don't need it hanging. You can just snip off the hangers mm-hmm. and create that or, you know, put your greens and branches in that base and then set that in your urn container. So
very cool.
Yeah. So some of my other tips are three types of greens.
Mm-hmm.
A lot often.
Is that like to eat? Like salad?
Yeah. Boston. And
okay.
Yes. No. Often the ones, you know how I'm talking about the ready-made urn inserts that you see at the big box stores.
Right.
Typically, when you look at those, if you look at them closely, you'll notice that there's just one, usually one, maybe two types of greens in them, cedar or pine.
Mm-hmm.
But I really recommend using three kinds because I think each one gives a little different texture to it. So I personally start with pine and then I add cedar as a little bit of draping around mm-hmm. around the edge. Both pine and cedar are really nice, kind of creating a skirt around the edge of your pots.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other greens like boxwood, spruce, salal, that just you don't need as much as the third one, but it adds a little different texture. So it kind of really creates a nice fullness. And you want that fullness so that if your urn is exposed out in the nature, I don't have a covered porch. So mine is out in the open. So if all the snow is piling on top of it, if I didn't have very much in there and it wasn't very full, then that would just, it would just be flattened. Same with a hard rainfall. You know, the rain would just batter it down. So you do want it nice and tight and nice and full.
This is big business, isn't it?
Yeah. You can tell that because everybody's in on it now.
Yeah.
You know, no matter which store you go to, Maybe not the drugstores. Maybe they're not doing it yet, but the grocery stores are selling them. The big box stores are selling them. For sure, the ones the nurseries sell are a step above, for sure. And most nurseries will also have custom. So if you want something specific, if you have a specific type of container, some people might have a larger or smaller containers that they want, they have specific size requirements, then it's easier to get it custom made.
Well, I brought that up because, you know, I'm listening to you how to make these beautiful things, and it's what you're recommending and everything. It's like there's a lot of love and a lot of talent put in these things. But as you say, you go to these box stores and things and you see all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You wonder why people don't try to make it themselves, actually.
I think people are afraid to because they don't know how, which is why I write about it in my blog, and I did that video last year. And why I wanted
to... Soon coming up on social media, folks.
That's right.
For $1.99.
And also why I thought it was important, even though it's radio and I can't really demonstrate and show you photos, but I thought if I can talk to you and kind of walk you through it a little bit, it would make some people, give it a shot.
But here's the scary point. You can show people how to do it on radio.
Can you?
Because you have the option of video streaming at the same time.
Yes, I know you keep saying you've
said
that
right.
to me. Yes,
I just want to remind you of that.
Yes. Yep.
That might be a special product for a project. Someday come in and say, look, we plan it out. We're going to make this and we're going to video it. At the same time they're listening to you, they're going to watch you.
Wow. That would be interesting.
Right.
Okay.
And then we get to keep whatever you make.
That's right. That's right. Well, anyway, I can't imagine making that much of a mess in
the
studio.
Oh, we don't care about messes.
You don't care about the messes?
No, you kidding?
It would smell good. It certainly it would smell like Christmas down here. It would be great.
Oh, it'd be great.
So that's good. I just wanted to take, because I think, I know with my friends, they didn't know where to start.
Yeah.
So soil, getting it, certainly it's a very good, effective cheat to start with your annual container. One, you already know it fits in your urn.
Right.
And the roots do create a really nice, strong base. And so I think that's a really good way to start. If you don't have that, then just getting a pot from the nurseries or a pot, any leftover pot that fits in your container and filling it with soil. And packing it down as firmly as you can. And start with pine. Start with one at a time, one green. So, get something in the center, something on the sides, and go making sure you're constantly spinning your container to get all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to the cedar. Now, one thing, I get mine from a local nursery, and I do find that I get the greens, the BC greens.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Ontario stuff, it's fine. It looks okay, but it isn't as full and as drapey. So even though the BC products might be a little, $1 or $2 more per bunch, I think you'll be happy in the long run because you're getting much more fullness in those branches than you would with the Ontario grown.
Okay, now I have a question. Mm-hmm. Okay, besides from the greens you talked about, what else can we add to those outdoor containers?
All right. Well, there's some things you can even go out and get for free. I used to do this. Sumac. You ever see those big red pods, now that the sumac has all lost its leaves? So these big red pods, and they're kind of uniquely shaped branches. So they actually look really good in urns.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. If you live in a neighborhood or when you go walk the dog, if you see you have access to sumac, then you can cut off a couple branches, and then they go in, mix in nicely with the greens.
Is sumac also used for anything medicinal or not? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. I was just wondering about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So sumac is one. Pine cones. You may have pine cones in your yard.
Sure.
Or you have pine cones in your interior decorating.
Mm-hmm.
So you can easily wire those. If you grab a little bit of wire and wire the base of the pine cone to a stick, popsicle stick or even a wooden stick from the other plants in your garden or from sometimes I reuse the stems from I cut off the tips of the greens and you're left with those woody stems. Just wiring the pine cone to those and then you stick those in the soil. So then the pine cone's elevated. So it's not so, you can definitely notice it.
I like that idea because I get to buy popsicles and eat them first.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Skewers too, if you want to do that as well. And this day and age, they're selling pine cones everywhere, and they're selling really big ones, and they're selling them spray painted gold, spray painted silver.
You know, that is an, you know, something really weird to me. Like when you do see those for sale,
mm-hmm.
there's so many available of those things for free.
Yeah.
And yet people, you know, even the craft stores
yes.
you go to, I yep. can't believe it that, you know, a neighbor would say, hey, feel free.
Yeah, for
rake
sure.
them up, take them.
Yeah, you for know? Sure. And those tend to be the smaller ones.
Yeah.
So those definitely might not be the perfect for the these types of urns. But if you can get, if you have access to bigger ones, then yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. There's lots of neat things you can do with them. So in addition to pine cones,
What about the plastic stuff you can buy?
Yeah.
Like the fake berries mm-hmm. and all that stuff. What about that
yeah.
stuff?
Yeah. Those are readily available. And I know I've heard of some people that say, oh, I just go to the dollar store and just get those fake berries and put those in the urns. Yes, you can do that. But it you have to keep in mind, especially if you're, buying something for a dollar, you get what you pay for. With our freeze and thaw that happens in our climate here in the GTA in Ontario, those will usually they're filled with styrofoam, those fake berries, and they will, you know, end up cracking. So then your red berries one day will be red and the next day they will be white because all the outside skin has come off of it.
Now, I have an email for you really quick. Do you
sure.
mind taking
no.
that? This is from April and she's in the GTA and she says, I've seen urns with live trees in them. Are the tree roots, number one, here's the first question, are the tree roots in danger of freezing? And the second part of the question, do I need to take precautions until I can put them in the ground? And that's from April in the GTA.
Okay. Yes, that's tricky. It depends where, well, it doesn't depend. In our climate, last year would have been a good year to do it because we certainly stayed frozen. But yes, putting live trees in containers is risky. You can try to insulate them as much as possible. Some people say putting styrofoam between the plant, between the soil and the plant and the pot, that will help insulate them. Some pots, more expensive, pricier pots, tend to be quote unquote insulated pots that will help protect your plant. But it's hard to know. If we get a big freeze and thaw, usually it's the February, March, you know, the January, February timeframe, you know, you get a couple of really nice days in January and February and the sun's beating down and everything defrosts and then it freezes up again and it just kills the plant. So you usually, it's kind of like I'd say a 70-30 chance that you'll make that one plant would make it through the winter. But very slim chance, only 30% chance, if not that, that it would survive for the summer, like
so
that you would be able to keep it. So if you're okay to buy, to you know, to buy a nice boxwood
sure.
and put it in, or I see a lot of people use a dwarf Alberta spruce is another plant that they like doing. So did I get the question? So
I think so. Yeah, she was concerned. Are the roots in danger of freezing? And then do I need to take precautions until I can put them back into the garden?
Yes.
So
yes, you want them to freeze. That's the goal. Because once they stay frozen, the plant, you water it and it freezes, it's fine. It will survive. The issue in southern Ontario is the thawing. So once it warms up, you know, a couple nice days, sunny days, and it warms up and it starts to thaw and then it freezes up again, that's what kills the plant.
Very nice. Thank you, April, for that.
Yes.
We're about ready for a commercial break. Are you ready?
I'm ready. We can come right back and finish up that discussion. So thank you. You've been listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. We'll see you shortly.
Are you craving real authentic Italian food? Then crave no more. At Sina's Kitchen, you can experience the absolute best in authentic Italian food cuisine. How about a delicious veal or chicken sandwich on a bun? or actual homemade lasagna and scrumptious soups. No time to prepare and cook a meal? Then try one of Sina's amazing frozen dinners that taste just as great as they look. At Sina's Kitchen, we do not fry our food, guaranteeing you the most delicious and healthy food available, bar none. We offer just 100% authentic Italian delicacies, made daily right in front of your eyes. Come by Sina's Kitchen, located at 140 Simcoe Street South, at the corner of John Street and downtown Oshawa. Plenty of free parking in the rear. Remember, Sina's Kitchen will also cater all of your very special needs and events. Don't cook tonight. Just call Sina's Kitchen at 289-939-3383. That's 289-939-3383. Remember, Sina's Kitchen. Now that's amore. That's amore. Long before you've pulled the sheets up, rested back onto a soft pillow, and drawn a curtain on the day, your body will have silently defended itself against countless threats. Viruses, bacteria, poisons, diseases, all are elegantly swept away as part of the usual routine. When life flows in harmony, the human body has a miraculous ability to heal itself. But what if you have a sense that this is not happening for you? Or maybe you feel that somehow your body is out of balance. Where are you at in terms of your health and wellness? Perhaps you have been diagnosed with a particular condition and you would like to explore alternative health possibilities for a synchronized holistic plan. What can you do? Take charge of your health and wellness by having a homeopathy consultation with a knowledgeable and experienced homeopathic practitioner. At his Durham Region and Toronto clinics, Dr. Joe Kellerstein can work in collaboration with you to arrive at positive strategies to help you feel more in control of your health and wellness. Contact Dr. Joe Kellerstein for an appointment at either 905-433-8666 or 416-484-1673. Check out his many informative health-related articles at www.drjoend.com. That's www.drjoend.com.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send Joanne an email right now, realityradio101@yahoo.com.
Sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle.
And now, when she's not practicing her fiddle at home, she does radio, and very well. Back to Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, and welcome back to Reality Radio 101, Down the Garden Path. Hope you're enjoying these tips today. I just wanted to finish up. Also, before I go there and finish up, I do want to finish up talking about a little bit about greens, but I do want to remind you to, if you have any questions about this, about anything I've discussed so far, please email me at joanne@downtoearth.ca, and I'd be happy to answer your questions. So I was talking about those berries that sometimes can crack in the weather or freeze and thaw here. They are selling, you know, they certainly are pricier and you're not going to find them at the dollar store, but you can look for them to say frost proof. And I actually did that because I've been hesitant to use them and I've just avoided them. I've actually even tried to buy the actual live berries, and those also just, they die. They don't last. Yeah. So it is nice if you want to add a bit of red to your container. So this year in mine, I did buy a bunch of frost proof berries and put them in my urn. And I have to say, I kind of liked them because they were all on wire. So I was able to really manipulate the berries to kind of spread them out nicely in the container. So that's something to think about. The other thing is, I know there's other things that you'll find at the dollar store, at other stores, you know, nice colored, poinsettias, that type of thing that people like putting in their containers. And at the nurseries, even some dyed products, some eucalyptus, they'll dye it in like a blue or a silver or a burgundy sometimes, if that's your color scheme. Just keep in mind, if you are not placing it under a covered porch and it's going to be exposed to the elements, then it will bleed. Usually those dyes unfortunately bleed. So you're have a bit more options. If you do you're lucky enough to have a nice covered porch, you can put a few more expensive, colorful things out there. But if your urn is being exposed to the elements, then it's better to stick with as much natural product, natural material as possible.
Great advice.
Yeah. So,
And great advice, and we have more advice. You go to a website, right?
Yes.
Website.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we have there? If people wanted to not only contact you, you always put tips and things on your site, correct?
Yep, on my site, on my Facebook page especially, I have lots of different tips. Going back to our first half there where I talked about the burlapping of Japanese maple, I posted a picture of that and some instructions on Facebook if you're a visual person like I am. Sometimes it's nice to just see it in a picture. So you can check out my Facebook page for that. And so I also have, if you visit my website, you'll see in the top box there, I have created a seasonal plant tip guide. So it just helps you know what to do in your garden every season. So I have it done for you. It's simple to sign up. And once you sign up for that, you also get my monthly newsletter that I send out to my customers. And again, all I try to do, everybody asks me for low maintenance, and I try to do that as much as possible, but it doesn't mean no maintenance. There's always something every month that you need to do in your garden. So I've made it simple and proactive in that I send you a newsletter. It arrives in your mailbox at the beginning of the month, and it tells you what you need to do this month in the garden, or sometimes not to do in this month in the garden. So I've tried to make it very simple for everybody. So please check me out. Check out that seasonal tips guide at www.downtoearth.ca on my website. And let me know what you think. See if it was helpful or not. So
very cool. Now, I want to just ask you really quick. I want to go back to your video.
Sure.
Now, you shot that video, and now you're just waiting for it to be edited.
Yes.
And then, are you going to make that available free, or are you going to put that as something to sell?
No, it will be free. It'll be a few.
So that would be added to your website and all that type of thing.
Yes, right? Yep. I'll add it to my website. I'll post it on social media, and it's probably, I'll give you a little secret, it's probably going to be, if it's done in time, in my December issue of my newsletter as well.
Okay.
So that'll help everybody, because the beginning of December, if you haven't already started working on your urns, and I know I've procrastinated and done it the first week of December as well. So that'll be a handy little guide to help you. And I've done them both ways, in the soil, in fresh soil, as well as my little secret of keeping the old annuals and putting it in that.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, and keep in mind, everyone, that these arrangements should last, really. And the best way to make them last is to water them. I know everybody's thinking, well, they're dead, they're cut branches, why would I need to water them?
Yeah.
But they still do need a bit of moisture. And once you put them, you've got them all done and they've all been inserted into your soil, then go ahead and water that deeply. And then when that freezes, even if it freezes and thaws, that moisture will help keep those greens green.
Okay, now something a little bit off the topic.
Sure.
Now, we know you are basically landscape design,
mm-hmm.
and you work with a lot of outdoor plants,
yes.
trees, etc. Do you do anything with fresh cut flowers or anything? Have you done anything floral that way as far as arrangements and type of things? Or
not officially. I actually did work for a couple of years. Funny you should mention that. A couple of years at a flower shop.
Oh, cool.
It kind of worked that we had opposite seasons, you know,
yeah.
the busy seasons for the flower shop, or, you know, December for Christmas and January or February for Valentine's Day. Mother's Day always was a little bit tricky compared to my landscape design business. But so I have a little bit of experience. And I personally like saving all the little bits of pieces from when I create my outdoor urn. I keep them in the garage, and then I like putting them around my house. So I have different favorite flowers that I use. and favorite ways I like displaying some of those evergreens in the house. Not too soon. You kind of have to wait a little bit closer to the Christmas before you can bring those in. But you,
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But yeah, so I have some nice tips. And actually, it's funny you should bring that up, Gary, because I was thinking of one of my topics for next week would be talking about holiday plants. So indoor plants, because I think everybody's going to be ready, really getting decorating. Christmas trees are probably all going to be up this coming weekend.
Yep. Do you get a real tree or do you?
No.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
So you have artificial.
We do. We have a pre-lit artificial. And
how dare you?
I know. No more fighting with those lights. It's nice. One, two, three, it plugs in and it's good.
You're done, right?
Yeah, I do admit, even in today, I was out in the stores and all the Christmas trees were out, the live ones, but we just found it was a lot of work. And, you know, we used to take the boys and think, oh, this is a great family thing to do.
Right.
And we'll go cut our own tree down. And that's going to be a great Christmas memories. And yeah, it never worked out that way for us, unfortunately.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know people are going to be asking about this in the next couple of shows. Mm. When they have a live tree.
Yes.
There's so many things on the market and so many things online for preservatives. Mm-hmm. People, right, mixing things.
Yes, good old aspirin or sugar.
Right,
and all
so
those
you
different...
will give us your secret tip on the best way to preserve a live tree in a house, right?
Yes.
You'll have something for us?
I will. Do you want it now or do you want it next
I'd
week?
Wait.
Yeah, next
I'd
week
wait.
When
yeah,
all the trees
yeah.
are up. Yeah.
Because someone's going to market it.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, because that's always been a thing. Put the aspirin in.
Yes. I can remember that as a kid going under.
Right,
Dad? I know my dad's listening.
Right.
I can remember going underneath the tree and putting an aspirin in the little container.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, but I'm sure there's other things that would really help that tree be preserved for a couple of more weeks rather than if you did nothing, right?
For sure.
Okay.
There's nothing worse than having it lose all its needles.
Yeah.
You know, even Boxing Day, you know, it's just, it's ridiculous.
So if someone bought a tree now, a fresh cut tree already, because they are for sale.
Yeah.
And they got it home. Would you recommend put it up now or would you still wait, leave it outside, water it? What do you do?
Yeah, I think if they're getting it now, then they need it now. They're going to have a Christmas party, you know, or like a family party or something earlier. So absolutely, go
ahead.
What
about preserving it, though?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to cave and say buy, don't do the aspirin, don't do the sugar. Buy the preservative that the nurseries are selling.
Okay. Do you know what's in that?
I don't. I can look that up, though, and maybe bring in a bottle for next week, and we can talk about
that. Can we drink it?
I don't think we can drink it.
Okay.
No. That would be good. Get rid of our wrinkles and stuff.
The new drinking show with
Joanne
Shaw.
That's right. But, that's your best bet. But keeping it watered, I think that's the biggest thing is, right? You know, you
water,
go that head and bottom, like, oh, my gosh, when was the last time? I thought you watered the tree. I thought you watered the tree,
And it makes it easy because, as you say, when you were a kid and I was a kid, used to have to get up. We used to have the tree stands that were pretty lame.
Yes,
the
they
green
were.
And red
like,
one.
Don't would, touch it. Don't
yeah,
blow.
Don't touch
don't.
It. You know, you got the eye hooks. You're turning it, and it's crooked. And
yes.
This. But the thing is, you used to have to get under there and water it.
Yes.
Where now they have all kinds of contraptions,
for
eye
sure.
level, with
yes.
the tube going down
yeah.
and everything,
yeah.
right? So there's no excuse not to water it.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Well, wow. This hour has certainly flown by.
Now, I was on the phone, like I always am, during some things. I know you were, did you get to, I know you had some notes that you wanted to get to.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to try to always wrap up the show. Again, as much as I love plants and I love gardening, I am a landscape designer and I can't help everybody. But there are landscape designers wherever you are in the world. I see them on LinkedIn. There's lots of them in England. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
So
right.
I really, where you are, as much as I, you know, the local people, I'd love you to call me and contact me on my website and my email address. But I obviously can't help you in other parts of the city and the country and the world.
Yeah.
So I really want to always kind of end the note just talking a little bit about landscape design and why I think it's important.
And you
I
got
think
1 minute to do that.
I do.
Yes.
I think it's really important to talk about a plan, getting a plan. And now is a perfect time to do it during the quote unquote off season. Gives you can really hit the ground running in the spring when you already know what you want and know what your budget will be and your plant material will be. And then when you want to contact a contractor in the spring, you already, you know, you're ahead of the game. So really think about it. Your garden is still fresh in your mind now. You can still look out and kind of see, you know, what issue is bothering you or what you need to change or want to change. So I really want you, everyone, consider contacting a designer in your area.
Well, that's good advice, wouldn't you think?
I think so. So thank you very much, everyone. This episode went really quick, and I hope you enjoyed it. I hope there was something for everyone. So like I said, next week we'll be talking about holiday plants, indoor plants, and anything else you want to talk about. So if you've got some ideas or questions, please contact me at joanne@downtoearth.ca.
Very nice. Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Stay tuned. It's Kick Stands Up with your host, Lou Devonel, right here, Reality Radio 101.